Hey friends, and welcome to the debut episode of a brand new podcast called You're Entitled to Your Opinion. It's made up of my opinion and my daughter's opinion. I'm Gordon Duncan. She's Emma Duncan. We're going to work together to create a more formal, maybe a bit more catchy intro than this. But right now, we wanted to go ahead and get an episode out there and give you an idea of what it's about. So tune in. We explain it at the beginning and jump right in. Thanks for listening. All right, gang, we are back with episode 3 of the You're Entitled to Your Opinion. Emma, how are you doing?
Fine.
Fine. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I think this is going to be the first time we really have some disagreements. Maybe. I feel like we're going to debate on this one. So.
Yes.
So we're gonna skip our usual format. We're not doing like, hey, what have we watched? Because a couple of things we normally watch, we haven't watched. Because we haven't looked at American Horror Story yet. We'll probably do that.
Which we should.
We'll do
that. It was out like 2 nights ago.
We'll do it when Amy goes to bed or something tonight. Okay. We'll take it in. So, but I got the idea because I was listening to the Talk is Jericho podcast. Do you know who Chris Jericho is?
Yes.
So he's a wrestler. He's also the lead singer of Fozzy.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought on Mike Portnoy, the world's greatest drummer.
Chloe Portnoy?
No, Mike.
From Bojack Horseman?
No. Mike Portnoy, formerly of Dream Theater and about 5 other bands, and another critic, and they did the top 10 Quentin Tarantino films, counting Kill Bill as 2.
Okay.
Though Tarantino only counts that as 1 film. I know. So I just thought, one, that's a fantastic topic, so we're going to give a throw out. So, Chris Jericho, if you're listening, give us a shout back
for this
brand new fledgling podcast. And so, everybody, before we get started, Emma, what movie of his have you not seen?
Pulp Fiction.
The one that everyone has seen, and because we started this rule years ago, which makes you bitter, I know, but the rule was you can't watch Pulp Fiction until the summer before your senior year. I know. And so you've done a great job. You've held to it. And that rule can be lifted if Meredith and Landry agree.
Landry.
And I don't think it's... And so, everybody, we have Landry in the background. She's listening. Might comment. I don't know. But she's our silent guest. So we're going to get started. And we're going to go 10 to 1. 10 being not the worst, because I think all of these are fantastic films. But if you've got to. Now, Emma, how long did it take you to do this list?
Not very long, honestly. Because I was like, well, if anything, I could say, oh, no, I changed that, because it doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah, it's 10 great films.
Yeah.
Like, and even though I get it, some Tarantino fans can be super annoying. We love his films. And I thought about it, but when I sat down to write it out, it was like 5 minutes. And I could change it right now. In fact, almost every one of these I could say is his best film. I can't say that about everyone, but at least 5 of these I could say that's his best movie. And now don't tell me yet, were there any surprises? You're like, oh, I can't believe I put that low.
Yeah, I put...
No, don't tell me yet.
But there was one I was like, I really like this one, and I don't know why, because I was like, I could easily like change it with this one, but I was like, this is a good movie, so I don't know what to put.
I know. There was one that at one point in time I said theoretically was his best movie, and it's way down on the list.
Yeah, there's one where I was like, I'm like, this deserves better than this one, but where do I put it? Because like, there's no reason to put it anywhere else.
I know. I got the point where I had 1 through 5 done, and then I had 10 done.
Yeah.
And then I had to figure out what to do with the others.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and some of these I just love. I'm like, this is in the bottom 5.
Uh-huh.
So, all right. So, we're gonna get started. So, Emma, since you have not seen it, your number 10 is what?
Pulp Fiction.
All right, you got to put, because you just have not seen it.
I might change one and go, right, give me...
All right, you're going to change one already? So, you're going to give me so much grief for this one being number 10.
Is it Hateful Eight?
No, I love this movie.
Is it Death Proof?
Death Proof is number 10.
Boo, you suck.
No, listen to me. Here's my reason.
Because you're a man.
No, listen. I love Kill Bill. I love Jackie Brown.
No.
You can't say that. I mean, I love Kill Bill, and she just kills people.
No, that doesn't matter.
She kills men the whole time.
Yes,
the movie's about her.
No. See, in Kill Bill, she's like this one who doesn't have a lot of emotions, but in Death Proof, it's actual women talking like actual women.
The whole movie is driven by her emotion for her daughter.
But Death Proof is like about women just acting like women, and so that's why you don't like it.
So, no. Let me tell you why I put it at number 10. First of all, the first time I saw it was only 80 minutes long. It was part of the Grindhouse double feature. And then by the time we saw it, I think it's now like an hour and 53, hour and 43, something like that. I just think it's episodic. It's got two different personalities. All his other movies tell a story. This one's the only thing that unites the movie is Stuntman Mike, who I love. But if you ask me, I could do this all over again. I could put it at number 6. I could go as high as number 6 with Death Proof. But I love it.
Okay, like you're saying, oh, I don't like movies that only have this one connecting thing. You've liked so many trilogies that only have, like, one connecting thing. Like, Cloverfield Lane, that one just has, like, one connecting thing.
But we're talking about a single film. If you got three films, no, if you're talking about a trilogy, it's three different movies. I just think the weakness of this movie is it's got a bit of a, and I mean this in the kindest film terms, it's got a bit of a bipolar nature where there's one personality here and there's another personality here. I love this film. It could be as high as number 6. Mm. Remember, I'm not saying this movie's bad. These are all great films. I couldn't put it in the top 5. I could go as high as 6.
That's stupid.
And I got it at number 10. So I knew you were going to give me so much grief about that.
That movie's literally so good. Landry, isn't it true that he only doesn't like it because he's a guy?
No.
No, I love Jackie Brown as well. I do.
No, it's not like...
You have to speak louder.
You're going to have to speak way loud. So tell us and we'll repeat it. What? All right. Never mind. I won't interrupt you. All right, so... You're number 9.
Jackie Brown? I got lost in the story. Like, I was just kind of, like, the plot line just kind of fell apart after a while, and it became, like, a little too confusing. And it was, like, there's this person, backstabbing this person, also Samuel L. Jackson's kind of a bad guy, and it's just so many different...
He's a bad guy.
No, he's not. He's normally, like, the good guy that everyone, like, kind of likes.
Not in, Django. He's like,
the... good guy in, Hateful Eight.
See? He's a good guy in
They're
Hateful Eight.
There are no good guys.
There are... In Django, he's a horrible person. Okay. He's
at
like
least
the worst.
At least Django, I could understand the plot. Jackie Brown had so much, like, business sort of stuff, where it was like...
There's definitely business going on.
It's like, I'm
going
to do this, but this... Also, I didn't like that one dude that she fell in love with, but also...
Robert Forster?
I don't remember him that well.
Sweet. Now,
I don't remember him.
This is the only Tarantino film you've only seen one time, correct?
Yeah, and it's just not memorable to me.
So, something unique about this... It's the only movie he didn't write. It's based upon a novel by Elmore Leonard called Rum Punch. So it does not have some of the characteristics it normally has.
Okay.
So my number 9
what?
Is Jackie Brown. I'm giving you such a hard time. And here's why. At one point in time, I said Jackie Brown was the best movie ever made.
What?
Rewatch
it, thanks.
We do need to watch it because... I love at the end you've got to see so many different perspectives. Remember, the end is told multiple different times. It's got Bridget Fonda in it, who I had such a crush on in the 90s. She was in every film for so long. I think you've only seen her in Singles.
What was that movie?
The Seattle grunge movie with Matt Dillon and
that movie sucked.
I know, but
it was
she
so
was in
boring.
I know, but I mean she
I
was
don't
in,
remember it at all.
Okay. But it's got Robert De Niro in it. It's got... And anytime I can't find my car in a parking lot, I'm like, Lewis, can you not find your car, Lewis? And I have Bridget Fonda in the back of my head. But I love the ending. The ending's got a little bit of a twist. We need to watch this again. As soon as I watch it, it'll rise back up in the rankings. But he didn't write it. And it's hard for me to give it higher than that because it's his only non-original
True
screenplay.
True Romance was good. Did he write that one?
He wrote that, but he didn't direct it. Yes. We could do a whole movies that he played a part in easily, but we're not going to. He wrote that. That's why number 9. And I almost flipped him. I almost made Jackie Brown 10 and Death Proof 9.
You think Jackie Brown's better than Death Proof?
Yes. I think it's like there's a genius about how he put together Jack Brown that's greater than the genius of Death Proof. But I love both those movies dearly. Again, but neither one of them can break into the top 5.
I think also Death Proof is much more of like a movie nerdish kind of movie.
Yes.
You know how it has, because it has like specific things that you probably wouldn't like recognize if you didn't like look them up, if you didn't like, because how it like had like how it kind of like flickers every now and then, and how because he was trying to make
it's a grindhouse film. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I'm much more into that. I'm much more into like the little like movie like nerd kind of facts like that, and you are not. And
I don't think that's true at all.
No, but I'm talking about like. Like that thing you talked about, American Horror Stories, how it was like movie facts, like Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like that thing. How I'm much more into that, and I'm much more interested in that than
maybe. I think I think the murder. By the way, gang, if you've not watched these movies, there's no hope for you. It's just nothing but spoilers. But I think the murders of the women in the first half are brutal. They're just brutal. Legs are flying off. Mm-hmm. There's literally a car tire grinding a woman's face. Mm-hmm. And
But just that last sequence with what's her name?
With Zoe Bell.
Yeah,
I love it.
That's and
Rosario
then,
Dawson. I love that.
Like and, has Mary Elizabeth Winstead in it.
I know.
Like I just really like their relationship and everything, and I like Stuntman Mike. Like, everyone's job
I like Stuntman Mike.
Everyone's job in that movie is so fun. And, like, it's an interesting story.
And being, sorry we are, Tarantino nerds, we give Zoe Bell so much more credit, but she's not a great actress. No. Like she's an amazing stunt. She did the freaking...
Yeah.
She did the stunt.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes that stunt doesn't make sense, because you're like, you can stop now.
Yeah.
And it's that stuff.
No, but if you stop... Because while they're being chased by him, they can't stop her or she's going to go flying.
There's a scene, there's multiple times where we're watching this movie and you guys go, just get off the hood! Like
she can't get off the hood,
when
though.
When they start chasing him, like, there's a couple of times, clearly, where it's like, it's cool, but the trope is falling apart. But listen, that movie could easily be six, but we're talking about Jackie Brown. Jackie Brown, at one point in time, I said was his best movie. We must watch it again. You will enjoy it more.
Okay.
You will. All right, so... let me see here. Emma.
Yes?
What is your number 8? This is where it got so hard. At this point in time,
I'm like, I really, really like this movie. Like, I will watch it again. But it's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, you put it that low?
Yeah, because just all of the other ones, like, it's a much better, like, story, sort of. And it's kind of, like, impact was a lot better than... Mm-hmm. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. This one is probably the most watchable, I would say. Like,
It's linear.
Yeah.
It's like, one of his few linear movies.
I love the comedy in this one. That's, like, my favorite thing. But, just again, like, I wish we got more of Charles Manson. Well, that's the first time we're going to say that.
Which but, is in the book. I'm listening to the book right now, and that whole scene is Charles Manson, and it's freaking scary.
Yeah, like, you had such a cool opportunity to kind of, like, expand on that. And when it was, like, marketed, everyone only knew it as, like, the Charles Manson
movie. I thought he was going to be all in it.
Yeah, and then you're kind of like, okay, well, he makes one appearance, and that actor, like, did a good... Because the actor played Charles Manson in another movie, and, like, he did a good job there, and so it's like...
Oh, he's played Manson in multiple movies?
Yeah, and so it's like, you have this opportunity to create such a historical figure, which has a cult following, which could bring you more audience, and you just didn't do anything about it. But I love the story that he created. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, so I'm going to talk about Once Upon a Time when it gets to mine. But I did not think... I really thought that was going to be a top 5 movie for you.
I really like it.
I really did. I'm really surprised.
This thing is going to change again because I could change, like, almost every single one of these movies.
Number 8 going forward, for me, could be 2 through 8.
Yeah.
Like, you really could. For me right now, going forward, it's almost like there's no difference between 2 through 8. Mm-hmm. And this hurts me so bad for number 8. Kill Bill 2. Now, I love Kill Bill. You've seen me watch it.
Yeah.
If it's on television, I'm watching it. But it's such a contrast from the first one.
Yeah. And...
And I love, I love, love, love the ending.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we got to go visit Kill Bill's... We got to go visit Bill's father figure down in Mexico. We got to go... Mm-hmm. Now, I love the burial scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. Mm-hmm. But...
The characters just aren't as good as they are in the first one.
Yeah. I mean, and Tarantino admits, and it was the Weinstein Company that would not let him do it. He wishes it was one film. Mm-hmm. But the problem was, if it was one film, it'd be almost 5 hours long.
Yeah.
And he's like, if it had been one film, Uma would have gotten her Oscar, which is probably true.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think if I've got to break these into two movies, and I could easily make this number 2.
Yeah.
But there are just a couple of things. I'm like, we're dragging it a little bit here. It doesn't have to be as fast-paced as Kill Bill 1 for me, but the scene where he goes, oh, I got to go visit his father figure, and
the girl with the messed up lip. Yeah. And just, I don't know, it's so hard.
I think you could watch Kill Bill 1 without watching Kill Bill 2, but you can't watch Kill Bill 2 without watching Kill Bill 1.
That's a good point.
And that's like, a great point. When you finish Kill Bill 1, you're like, this is fun. I understand that there's a cliffhanger, but, like, that's fine.
Right.
And but then when you watch the second one, you're like, well, I don't really care about these characters that
much. Yeah, yeah. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we finally meet Bill.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute. You invent truth serum? When did you get the ability to invent a truth serum? Like, you're just a gangster. I didn't realize that you were a mad scientist. Mm-hmm. That was a little odd for me. Yeah. I was a little disappointed in that. So like, it pains me. And like I said, A mm-hmm. through 2 could all mm-hmm. be, could change. So we are on to number 7.
Okay. This is Django.
I really thought you were going to have Django lower.
No.
I really did. I thought you could Django was going to be like your number 7 or 8.
Because, like, that movie is kind of, like, I like it, but, like, I haven't watched it too many times. Mm-hmm. And it's a great story, and I love, like, so much about it. But, like, it's kind of a harsh thing to watch, you know? And
it really is. Mm-hmm. The beatings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
the language.
And I just don't like the fact that he created it. That's another part. It just kind of rubs me the wrong way that he created it.
You would rather that be the story of an African-American author.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, you and I have discussed this. Jamie Foxx and Samuel Jackson are like, we are okay mm-hmm. with this. But I know.
Yeah, but also, like, it just also kind of rubs me the wrong way how Tarantino is like, I'm going to write the N-word and I'm going to make so many different actors say it, but I can just get away with it because it's in the name of, like, movies. It's like, you could, like, even Leonardo DiCaprio, when he was making it, he's like, I felt uncomfortable doing every single one of the scenes.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. But there was a big debate when the movie came out, and Spike Lee, who mm-hmm. I love, and Samuel L. Jackson got into a little back-to-back. And Samuel L. Jackson he got his start with Spike Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little debate. Spike Lee's like, you shouldn't do that. And Samuel Jackson's like, it's fine. Here's the thing. Complete conjecture. Well, I'm going to wait. This is my... When I get to Hateful Eight. Anything else? Excuse me. Django. Okay. Do you anything else?
I mean, not really. I wish Kerry Washington had more stuff in this.
Yes.
She's no, like...
Very small role.
No personality. No anything, really.
She's...
She can speak German.
She's the motive and the object of his affection. Mm-hmm. But you're right. The movie is really about Django and Christopher... Mm-hmm.
Christopher Waltz.
It turns into a buddy comedy, which is really, really mm-hmm. odd.
It's a little bit, like, this might be insensitive, but it's a little bit, like, boring before they go into Leonardo DiCaprio, because then where you're like, oh, the stakes are, like, super high here.
He's got to learn how to shoot. He's got to learn how to trust him. Mm-hmm. You do have to establish the relationship between the two.
And if they just kind of, like, built that relationship, like, I love the relationship, but, like, that entire sequence, I wish we got, like, I wish it had more, like, substance in it, sort of.
And remember Tarantino shows up at the end speaking Australian?
He's such a bad actor. Like, in Reservoir...
You haven't seen Destiny Turns on the Radio.
I don't want to.
Which is a movie he starred in.
In Reservoir Dogs, Steve Buscemi's role, he was like, oh, I was going to take it. But then Steve Buscemi came in and he was like, I don't want to do it anymore.
That's very wise in this part. And because Tarantino's in that movie mm-hmm. very little.
He writes roles for himself that he thinks are going to be good, but they're not good.
Listen, he's fine in Reservoir Dogs. He's got the breakfast scene.
He's playing
and
himself.
Then he gets killed.
Because he's playing himself.
Did. That's it. That's what directors should do, unless mm-hmm. they are just start out as actors first.
Yeah.
All right, number 7 for me, which is very difficult. I have seen this movie many, many times.
Okay.
I will put it on in a heartbeat.
Okay.
Love this movie. Okay. Hateful Eight.
I love that movie so much.
I do. And here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They are all despicable people.
Mm-hmm.
It is truly Hateful Eight. I love every character. Mm-hmm. It deals with racism.
Mm-hmm.
That Samuel Jackson scene where he took the general's son out. One of the most difficult scenes mm-hmm. I've ever seen filmed.
I forget about that scene.
But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really difficult scene.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could have seen the movie as it was originally intended before the script was leaked by Michael Madsen. Because the Channing Tatum underneath the floor mm-hmm. was different. And no one knows what that movie was originally supposed to be. No one knows, except for Michael Madsen, I guess. And
mm-hmm.
The only good person in the movie is Zoe Bell, and we only get her for a couple. She's so cute. She's there and comes out and helps them with their bags.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So...
I mean, all of the people originally in the...
The haberdashery? Yeah. Was it Dave or my... Whose chair is that? I forget, but...
I think it's, like, Uncle Dave's chair.
Yeah, yeah. So, love, love, love Hateful mm-hmm. Eight. I don't like the Netflix version. There's actually three different versions.
Is it the extra cut?
Yeah, I don't like the extra scenes. Mm-hmm. They released it originally. Then they did a roadshow print.
Okay.
Showing it in 70mm, added a few scenes, and then they did the Netflix. I will always watch an extended cut, because mm-hmm. I'm curious what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the Netflix mm-hmm. extended cut, I don't need it. Because what it adds... You lose some of the mystery. But mm-hmm. love Hateful Eight. Ironically, it comes in at number 7. And if you told me, hey, let's watch Hateful Eight tonight, I'd be like, mm-hmm. let's do it.
I will talk more about my love for Hateful Eight when we get
there. Okay, all right. We are not in the top 5 yet. Number 6.
Kill Bill 2,
okay.
Because it's such a good movie that I couldn't put it anywhere below any of these other movies.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's just... I feel like the hype kind of died down after Kill Bill 1. Because, like, with Kill Bill 1, you're like, this is an amazing movie. Like, what's going to happen next? And then I feel like they just waited so long. It's kind of like, oh, it's Kill Bill 2, I guess.
We saw it in the theater. Like, mm-hmm. I saw Kill Bill 1 in the theater and then literally had to wait. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't terribly long because mm-hmm. he filmed it all at one time.
Yeah.
But there was a what in the world. And I saw it with Terry and Leonard. And Terry hated that movie. And Terry and I mean, we usually lined up in a lot, but he did mm-hmm. not like it. And that's I was like, stupid. Bro, this movie's. he didn't like one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember, but we saw both in the theater, but we had to wait months.
Yeah.
To see it. When we showed it here, I think we watched 1 and 2 pretty close to each other. Didn't
like
we?
I think it was immediately after.
Like the next day or something like that. We had to because if you've got 5 hours of time to take them both in the same day,
mm-hmm.
So you love Kill Bill 2, but
yes, I have to.
I get it. I think most people agree one is superior.
Yes.
We'll talk about one when we get there.
I think Lucy Liu's entire part, that entire, like, her, Lucy Liu and her scene
in
together.
One? Let's not talk about that. Well, we're not at that Kill Bill 1 yet.
I know, I'm just saying that scene alone is just...
I got so much to talk about when we get to Kill Bill 1. So, my number 6 is Jenga.
Okay.
Great film.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most difficult to rewatch.
Yeah.
The subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was going to make this point earlier. This is pure conjecture on my part, but I think if an African-American made that movie, they would say it wasn't that bad. I really do. I don't know if an African-American director would have that much freedom. Whereas Tarantino made it, and people were like, holy crap, was it really that bad?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's probably worse. I'm sure it was worse. People who tried to downplay what slavery was, mm-hmm. like, you are in a losing battle. But mm-hmm. It's so well done, though. I mean... I love, love, love the relationship between the two of them. It becomes mm-hmm. a buddy comedy. Leonardo DiCaprio, maybe his best role. He cut his own hand
and he continued.
That scene is legend.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, he's lost in that.
Mm-hmm.
But when we first meet him, the two guys are wrestling, and it's like, this is hard to watch.
Yeah.
And but anytime, there's at least two times where slaves get mm-hmm. to come back on somebody. It's very funny. Because in a very early scene... The very first scene, those guys are freed.
Yeah.
And at the very end,
mm-hmm.
those guys are all freed and, mm-hmm. and go after Tarantino and his guys. But listen, there's that triumphant ending.
Yeah.
He shoots. Everybody's like, hey, mm-hmm. you, say goodbye. And mm-hmm. then there must be a rope pulling that person off camera.
I guess.
And then you want Samuel L. Jackson.
To die.
You want him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just he's a betrayer. The horse dancing, I'm like, okay. That's kind of, remember the end?
Oh, yeah.
The horse dances? I'm like, that's fascinating. But here's a movie about a terrible time, and there's a triumphant ending.
Yeah.
The couple goes off into the dark sunset.
I just hate that Tarantino thinks that he's doing everyone a favor by writing. He's like, yeah.
I'd love to find out if that's what he truly thinks. I mean, but I know what it feels like. I'm just wondering, at this point in time, we'll take a detour here. We're halfway done. So he says he's only going to make one movie.
He's not.
And he's
his
like,
ego's too big for that.
Huh?
His ego is too big for
that. Well, his point is, name a director who made a good film after the first 10. And he says you can't.
I'm trying to remember his name. Christopher Nolan. He's made so many.
Would you say Tenet? You didn't like Tenet.
No, I love Tenet.
Do you?
Yeah, it's okay. It's a good movie. Okay. You just have to see it in theater.
All right, but I appreciate that. But he's like, you will not make your best film after 10. I don't know if you make your best film after 10. I hope he keeps making movies. Here's the question. Does he go all out? Or is he becoming more aware of the times?
No, he's not going to stop because he said that so many times. He's like, oh, I'm going to stop at 15. I'm going to stop at 10.
Yeah, I think he's only said 10.
He's listened to a podcast about it and how he's changed the numbers so many. His ego is way too huge for that. If he thinks Kung Fu Panda was a ripoff of Kill Bill, then he's not going to stop.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that commentary. But, right now I'm reading his novel, which is way too detailed. I would love to get Bounty Law. Mm-hmm. I'd love to get him to make that series. I don't think he's going to do that. He promised to make that. But I love Django. It is the least rewatchable, only because of the difficult content. Yeah. Doesn't make it a bad film. It's a fantastic film. Very difficult to rewatch. But yeah. I do think it's superiorly made over the ones I just mentioned here. All right, there's our top 10. My 10 was Death Proof, Jackie Brown, Kill Bill 2, Hateful Eight, and Django. Yours was?
Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, Once Upon a Time, Django, and Kill Bill 2.
All right, so we had three that were similar. We had Jackie Brown, Kill Bill 2, and Django.
Yeah.
All right, that's not bad at all. So, all right, here's where it gets really, really hard. So, and I can't wait to hear what your number one is. I have a guess. I knew your least favorite. I got that correct. All right. What is your number five best Tarantino film of all time?
Inglourious Basterds.
Inglourious Basterds. What a great movie.
That movie is, like, perfect.
Couldn't you make that your number one?
Yeah, it could be, like, near my number one. It could be, like, number two.
It could be number two. Because there are two. Your number one is so solid.
There are two movies that could be number one. That's why they're number one and number two. Uh-huh. But that one is, like, a solid number two.
All right, what do you like about Inglourious Basterds?
Just so much about, like, that first scene, I watched
one
video.
One of the best first scenes ever. <Yeah. laughs>
I watched a video, like, dissecting how every single part of it is just, like,
dread.
And how you just don't realize it. You just, like, you don't recognize that the people are underneath the cover.
I know, and then you're like,
and then you see, like,
so you're like, no.
And you see it, like, pan down, and you're like, oh, no.
There have been so many movies made, Schindler's List and other movies, but the dread of this one, and you immediately are scared.
Yeah.
You're immediately scared of Christopher Waltz's character.
Yeah, because, like the first part he goes, go inside, you're like, okay, well, who's gonna come? You're like who's coming? And,
right.
And then you're just like, oh, it's the Nazi, what's it?
And he's like, bingo! Is that right? He goes, you just say bingo.
But, like, his, like, kind of, I don't know how to explain his character, really, in the beginning. Because it's kind of like, he's like joking around with the fact that he's like a Nazi killer. And just like.
Yeah.
Well,
he's
he's not the Nazi killer. Sorry. Because Brad Pitt is the Nazi killer. What's his name again? I forget his name.
Oh my goodness. All of a sudden, our brain stops working for a minute. How do we not know? How do we not know this? Keep going there.
Yeah, but like. So, and then Mike Myers shows up, and you're like, what are you doing here?
I know, and you know what, you haven't even seen that many Mike Myers films, I know, but I mean, it is very odd to see him in there.
And then he just makes Hitler so stupid, and and it's funny how I always forget Hitler is in this movie. It's like, this movie is really about, like,
Colonel
Nazis.
Hans Landa, who's like... literally a serial killer. Like, he is a serial killer.
And he, like, enjoys it. And he's like, I do what I do. He's like, do my job, and I do my job well. And just like, what? And then BJ Novak shows up from The Office.
I know.
You're like, hello?
And he makes it to the end. Makes it all the way to the end.
Yeah, he's like one of the only ones who come.
But Brad Pitt is so great.
Yeah.
He really is. Mm-hmm. He gets lost in that character. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, come on, you take on Devitt. Mm-hmm. And so,
I love
scalping people in this movie.
And it's enjoyable, because they're Nazis. So you're like, well, this is fine. But
then the whole, wait a minute, I'm going to let you talk, because I'm not here yet. Go ahead.
There is a part of it that's, rubs me the wrong way. What's the girl's name? Hillary?
Bridget von Hammersmark?
No, Bridget von Hammersmark.
Uh-huh.
So you know how she gets strangled in that?
Yes.
Tarantino, he was like,
Oh, that's right.
He's like, oh, I don't want, like, anyone else to do it. I'm going to do it. And then he does it, and he passes out. It's like, well, why'd you do that? It's just like, what? Like, I don't know what his thinking was. I don't know what he was like. Yeah, I'm going to be the one to do that.
It's tough.
Then she passes out. It's like, what is your problem?
anything else? I mean, we can talk all day about Inglourious, but you can do a whole show about this movie.
I watched a video just describing every single part of it, and it's just, and how, it was like, do you think Colonel Hanzada actually, like, knew it was her? And, like, do you think, and just, like, because he was, like, taunting her about the cream. Like, he was like, no, you have to wait. He was like, he's like, this is amazing. And he says, au revoir, Shoshana, which means, like, see you later.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
That movie is so good.
What a great movie. So you have that at number five. Mm-hmm. My number five, I think I've seen this movie 6 times.
Okay.
Saw it recently.
Is it Once Upon a Time?
Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
What a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Could be as high as number 2.
Oh.
I really could. I mean, mm-hmm. It's so different.
Mm-hmm.
It's linear.
It's the most watchable.
There's no tricks.
Yeah.
The first time I saw it, the ending, you're like, what in the heck? Mm-hmm. The crowd cheers when a woman is set on fire in a mm-hmm. pool. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt's character, mm-hmm. I mean, Cliff Booth.
One of, like, the best.
You love Cliff. I grew up loving Bruce Lee films. When he beats up Bruce Lee, it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Zoe Bell. What the? Like, so, Kurt mm-hmm. Russell is both your narrator,
mm-hmm.
and he's got that very small part.
Yeah.
But the scene where the whole part about...
the ranch?
No. The ranch is just terrifying. Mm-hmm. Like, the first time I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
But the scene of Rick Dalton filming.
Yeah.
Where he messes up the lines. And mm-hmm. he meets the young girl. And he talks about Easy Breezy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does it correctly. It's just like, it's the best.
Mm-hmm.
That is so good. Mm-hmm. And Luke Perry comes in. That's the last movie he ever did before he died. Luke Perry is the little girl's brother. Oh. He comes in. I mean, yes, it could have been way more dark with mm-hmm. Charles Manson. And honestly, when I heard he was doing this movie, I'm like, I do not want him to do a Charles Manson film. It's way too dark.
Mm-hmm.
But the buddy comedy, Brandy the dog, we love Brandy.
I love Cliff Booth and Rick Dalton's relationship so much.
Friendship, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, you know, when
they're just like friends.
When you know, more than brothers, but less than wife. When you say goodbye, you got to get on a good drunk. I mean,
there's like no conflict between them. Like
he's like. And what I love, there's that scene, they're sitting there talking, and he's like, Cliff, old buddy, mm-hmm. I guess this is the end of the line. And he doesn't say anything. She's like,
yeah.
He's like, what are you mm-hmm. going to do? And he tells me, because that sounds like a good plan. He's just a good friend.
Yeah.
He
just wants the best for his friend.
Yep.
he drives him around.
And he wins an Oscar. Brad Pitt wins an Oscar, finally. Should have won for mm-hmm. many other things.
Yeah. And Margot Robbie, we just, like...
Oh, she's so sweet. She's so sweet. When she watches herself... Mm-hmm. When she watches herself on film, she's like, oh, there I am. Can I get in for free? I'm in the movie.
And, like, everyone's, like, clapping for her.
No one knows who she is.
And she's like, oh, people are, like, laughing at what I did.
I know.
And,
oh, you're like
and
me.
She like, picks up the hippie, and she's like, well, I hope... She's like, hope you go on your quest or something. Or I hope you find what you're looking for. It's just, like... And so many people are like, wasted potential. You did Margot Robbie so wrong for not doing anything. It's like, she's supposed to be, like, a plot line in this movie.
Every character in that movie could have gotten more screen time.
Yes.
Like, every main character. You could have gotten more Rick. Mm-hmm. You got more Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great movie. I saw it in the theater, I don't know, 3 times, mm-hmm. I think, 2 times. We watched it again, I don't know, 2 weeks ago?
Probably.
Seems like every time Meredith comes home, we watch it.
Yeah.
Amy the other day said, maybe my favorite movie. I can't watch it again. I'm tired of watching that movie. So, I tried to get, like, best and worst. None. Maybe Once Upon a Time. But anyway, I love Once Upon a Time. It could be as high as number 2.
Mm-hmm.
It is a phenomenal movie.
I mean,
9 movies in, and you make this.
Mm-hmm.
And surprise all of us. So, now, here we go. We get down to the nitty gritty. Your number 4. Your number 4.
Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight. Wow, that is so high. Yeah. I love this movie. Why so high?
Just, it's all dialogue. And, like,
it is?
And
well, there's action, but it is 90% dialogue.
But it is so interesting, like, in, like, all the turns that it takes. And then he's like, is that, he's like, is the Lincoln letter real? He goes, no. And you're like, wait.
I'm so surprised he told that, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then everyone starts laughing, and then you're like, it's just 8 people who hate each other. Technically 9 people who hate each other.
Right.
But, yeah. And then, like, the twist at the end, you're like, wait a minute.
I know. Mm-hmm.
And just, because you want, like, Kurt Russell and Samuel L. Jackson, like, to be friends. Because they were, like, sort of friends in the beginning, and then
they have respect for each other.
Yeah, they have, like, kind of each other's back, like, in the place.
And Kurt Russell loses respect mm-hmm. over the letters.
Yeah. And then, also, he smashes the guitar, which was the real guitar. Like,
And Jennifer Jason Leigh's like, what?
Yeah.
What?
And
is
so, like,
Jennifer Jason Leigh?
Look it up.
Yeah, go ahead.
But, like, yeah, her reaction is real. And then you're like, oh, no. Like, before, if you don't watch that, because I think that scene just, every single scene in it is just so good. And I love how Samuel L. Jackson and you absolutely hate the sheriff. Like, you're
yes.
like, you are the most
yes.
annoying person ever.
Jennifer Jason Leigh, yeah. Daisy Domer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and,
And then the end, you're like, aw, your buddies. You're like, you're
yeah,
gonna
and
die.
And they die reading the Lincoln letter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, good old, mm-hmm. what does he call it? What's Lincoln called his wife? I forget, but, like, she's calling, I gotta
yeah.
go in there. And
mm-hmm.
so, Kurt Russell, career just reinvigorated with this, goes from there, and then he gets into, Guardians of the Galaxy
mm-hmm.
2, you just gotta, he's gotta thank Tarantino. I was reading, when he wrote Once Upon a Time,
mm-hmm.
he interviewed Kurt Russell and a bunch of other older actors and, like, tell me what early Hollywood's like. Because Kurt Russell's been in Hollywood forever.
Yeah.
Like, teach me, like, what, mm-hmm. and so Kurt Russell was one of those guys that are like, this is what it was like in the 70s or the 60s to be Hollywood. It's got Tim Roth in it, who we love. We gotta love The Hangman. We gotta love Oswaldo Mobre.
Also, Christopher Waltz, he was talking about, like, working with Tarantino, and he was saying how he'll, like, invite him over into his house, and he'll literally make him read the script in front of him. He's like, and once he's done, he's like, just tell me what you think. And then they'll watch, like, a movie, like, in his movie room. And so...
So, yeah, I hear in the Chris Jericho podcast,
mm-hmm.
he got to watch a movie with Tim Roth. I mean, excuse me, his name will come to me in a minute.
Okay.
And Tarantino. Just
mm-hmm.
the three of them watched a movie together.
Mm-hmm. He would be the most annoying person to
he
watch
says it's
a
very
movie.
Hard to watch a movie with Tarantino. It's
I,
very, very hard.
There's an interview with him.
He's constantly just pointing stuff out, and you're like, please,
yeah.
please, let
there's
me
an,
just watch the movie.
There's an interview I watched with him, and it was...
Eli Roth, excuse me.
Okay.
You watched with Eli Roth.
And it was dissecting the scene where Rick Dalton, like, throws, and he's, like, having this meltdown in his trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Most annoying thing ever. It's like, he literally didn't let Leonardo DiCaprio talk for the first, like, six minutes.
Listen.
It's like, people don't want to hear you talk. It's like, yes, everyone has a right to say what they want to say, but sometimes people don't want you to say what you want
to
say.
We'll debate his personality somewhere else. So, so your number four
mm-hmm.
was Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
My number four, this is very hard, is Kill Bill 1.
Oh, that
listen,
sucks.
It's number four,
that's,
though.
No, that movie is so great. It
that movie
deserve,
is fantastic.
It doesn't deserve number four.
It
has one in its name.
Huh?
It has one in its name.
It's never, I, that's going to be your number one, but I'm guessing. So, listen. I know you haven't talked about it yet.
Okay.
Not told in order.
Mm-hmm.
Uma Thurman's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The Lucy Liu background anime? Out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy 88s. I had seen the Dust Till Dawn
mm-hmm.
That he helped Robert Rodriguez made. So immediately I know that this movie is cast in that world.
Mm-hmm.
When the sheriff and the son show up, and
that was in Death Proof.
So they're all in the same world. Those movies all exist in the same world, and Samuel Jackson makes the smallest of appearances as a piano player. But when she wakes up,
mm-hmm.
she's been in a coma, and she immediately grabs her stomach because
mm-hmm.
her baby's gone.
Yeah,
it's so heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
Her legs don't work. She smashes that dude's heads in the doorway. He's like, please stop. Like, and then he gets in the P-Wagon. I mean, like, you're like, what in the world? He has that first fight with Vivica Fox. I mean, like,
no, I think
just so amazing of a movie.
And the opening where she's, like, dead, you're like, wait. Where, you know,
and he gets shot in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and so now I know who David Carradine. I mean, Kill Bill is, He made movies back in the 70s, I watched. He was on a show called Kung Fu, which is a regular television show. Love that. It's a nice, nice throwback. Mm-hmm. Just the whole Lucy Liu, that world, that fight is amazing. This movie could easily be number one.
Yeah.
It could be my number one. It's not my number one. This movie could
be your number one's... Oh, I know what your number one is.
Yeah, yeah. I've talked about this. Yeah. But, and we're not even able to talk about that a whole lot, but I love Kill Bill 1. It doesn't matter. The blood is not upsetting.
The worst... Also, the marketing for it. Have you seen, like, the billboards that were made for it? It's just so cool. And
there was nothing... I mean, listen. We've had women revenge films.
Mm-hmm.
I Spit on Your Grave. Like, these movies exist. Nothing like Kill Bill. Yeah. Nothing at the scope.
Also, the first, like, other than the scene with Vivica A. Fox, the scene where she's, like, just woken up, and then you see, and then, like, the nurse comes in, and she, like, slices his ankles. You're like, you're like, that shouldn't hurt as much as it does.
My name's Buck. Yeah, just, you hate these people. Mm-hmm. Just despicable.
Like, everyone's working against her.
Every guy in that movie terrible?
Yeah.
Not the preacher. Not Samuel Jackson, they're fine.
Well, I'm talking like main characters.
Yeah, but like, well,
his dad isn't like his dad.
No, figure. No, he's not like he cut that woman in the face. But that's Kill Bill 2, though.
He's not that bad, but he's kind of
cut
like
that woman in the face. What do you mean
he's
not that bad?
He has like respect for Uma Thurman.
Yeah, he does.
I'm saying to her. Okay. But
Kill Bill 1, we'll stay focused there. Mm-hmm. The opening fight is so amazing, just phenomenal. The moment Lucy Liu steps onto the screen, just a piece of filmmaking like nothing else. Yeah. Absolutely. I could easily make this the best movie.
I'll talk more about my love when we get there.
I know, you'll get there. So, are we down to our top three?
Yes.
Okay. What is your number three?
Reservoir Dogs.
I love Reservoir Dogs. Alright, you go first.
Okay. Well, I don't know how to explain it.
His shortest movie.
But this movie is just so good. Like, like, literally just how to describe it is that, like, all of these characters, they're fun, they're interesting. Steve Buscemi is the most, like, professional. He's like, I'm not telling you my name. And, like...
That's right. Yeah.
But the dynamic between the first three, it's not Michael Madsen. It's the other dude. It's Tim Roth, Steve Buscemi, and...
Harvey Keitel.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just their relationship together... Where he's like, you're not gonna die.
You're not gonna die. I didn't know you were a doctor. Like, you're gonna be okay. and then it's so fatherly.
Yeah.
He combs his hair.
But then at the end, you're like, no. You're like, you're the police. You're like, oh no.
It's just so hard to watch.
And we don't know what exactly happened at the end. We don't know who got who.
They all died. They all died. Yeah.
But the way that ends, you're like, oh no. You're like once you figure out, you're just like, this is bad.
It's hard to watch sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about it when it comes up, but the torture scene is hard to watch.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But like, it's so comedic too, because you put like stuck in the middle with you in it. You're like,
it does calm it down. It makes it less psycho.
Yeah.
But what a debut. I mean, they made that movie for nothing.
Yeah. They all had to bring their own outfits in because they didn't have any money.
Yeah, Harvey Keitel said he worked on that movie so much that Quentin Tarantino just gave him an executive producer credit. Like, if it hadn't been for Keitel, the movie hadn't been made. His credit,
Also, apparently, the one dude, like, the big, like, mafia boss, he was so annoying on set. And, like, he kept showing up to work late. They're like, film your last scene and you're out. So he got fired from that set. It's like, how does Tarantino find you, like, annoying? It's like, how bad do you have to be?
I can't remember, Tarantino just worked at a film. Just a video store. And all of a sudden he became, like, this genius. So the problem is, the difficulty is the connection between his work and his personality. Mm-hmm. That's where it's hard. But Reservoir Dogs is your number three.
Yeah.
My number three... is Inglourious Basterds.
Fair enough.
What an amazing movie. Mm-hmm. One, let's just rewrite World War II. We're not planning on that coming at all. Everybody is amazing. You talked about it a lot, so I want to put on a couple things. Okay. The whole scene at the bar basement.
Oh, yeah.
The tension of that. And it goes on. I mean, but Michael Fassbender does a great job.
And then when you figure
they're playing the game, you're like, I mean, you know, there's just so much tension in there. And the Nazi dude's around the corner, you didn't know that, and you're like, no.
Yeah.
And, you know, was it Doze or Trace?
Like, no, so here's the thing. I watched it with...
So you speak German,
yeah,
so...
I watched it with you, and I recognized it before you did.
I know.
Yeah. So, Germans do it with their thumb. They make their thumb into, like, a circle. American people do it with, like, there's three fingers, and so when he said three glasses...
Interestingly enough, I do it like the Germans do, but that's not the point. Go ahead, so,
I do it like that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, so when he always says, dry glass, and you're like, oh, no. You're like... I was like, oh, he just blew his cover.
I know. That scene is amazing. Mm-hmm. Brad Pitt is so funny.
Yeah.
Like, the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Myers is fantastic. He really is. Mm-hmm. Michael Fassbender is just ridiculously good.
Mm-hmm.
There's this geeky scene where he explains German cinema. You know, mm-hmm. Tarantino had so much fun writing that. The Jew bear, the bear Jew. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's Eli Roth again. And so...
Also, the scene with Colonel Hans Zonda, he just acts like he's, like, above everyone. And so when she was like, oh, I broke my foot, but, like, mountain climbing. And he just
laughs.
He laughs so hard, you're like, oh, no.
And, you know it's over with.
And also when they're all saying their name, it's like, why would you make someone say their name twice?
Because
he just knows before everyone. He's like, say it again. And he says, like, his name correctly. You know. He goes, good job. It's like.
oh, my goodness. What was I getting ready to say? The sweet relationship between Shoshana and her boyfriend.
No, it's not her boyfriend. It's just her friend.
No, they have a relationship.
No, they're not.
They do. They are in a relationship.
No,
they kiss each other. They're
so? No, that was... I promise you.
No, there's nothing you're going to tell me that does not convince me that they're in a relationship.
What was his name again?
So, I don't know, but I mean, I will look it up. There's not any proof that you can give me that they're not...
They were just friends.
No.
They were just really, really, really close friends. I promise you that.
Why would you even think that? Like, what piece of evidence would make you think that they're not in a relationship?
I think they're... Because the way that they act together, they're just, like, friendly together.
No!
Yes!
There's nothing about that... you're entitled to your own opinion on that one. There's nothing that's going to convince me that they weren't in a relationship together.
What's his name?
Oh, I don't know. But either way, I just... I love their relationship. Mm-hmm. No matter how you want to describe it, I love their relationship. I love that she gets to set the entire Nazi Party leadership on fire.
I'm trying to remember her name.
Shoshana.
Anyway, continue. No, like, his name. Whatever.
Marcel?
It's Marcel?
Yeah, it's Marcel.
Great, looking it up. Was Shoshana and Marcel friends?
Why would you even think they're not dating?
I just think they're friends.
Why?
I just think they're friends. He's extremely loyal to her, although he harshly questions her decision to open a theater, blah, 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 blah. That's not helping at all.
I don't know whose opinion you're going to give. I mean, there's...
Looking at Reddit arguments.
Oh, Reddit. Oh, my goodness. You just...
Okay.
Never mind. Just get off Reddit.
No.
Okay. You've gone to the least trustworthy resource on the internet to get an answer for this. I'm discussing how great a movie it is. And it's a phenomenal movie. And I love the relationship between the two of them.
Everyone thinks he's gay. So that's why.
There's nothing in there for that. There's nothing in there that would even give evidence for that.
It's because you have to understand.
No, goodness no. I think that is being... I think it's being appropriated. I think someone's like...
You're talking about appropriating and you love Django. Shut up.
No. But I'm just saying, I don't see that in there. I appreciate that someone would like that representation. I do. I think they're in a relationship together. Okay. Inglourious Basterds is my number three. What is your number two film?
Kill Bill 1.
Kill Bill 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Just the scene with Lucy Liu, and she goes, you won't last... 4 minutes with 5 minutes with me, and it's 4 minutes and 59 seconds.
I know.
You're like, okay.
It's got that little
the
water thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
And you think it's over so many times. You're like, okay, well, she's dead. It's like, no, she's not. And then she just cuts off her head, and then you're like, oh, okay. And she goes, it really was a Hattori Hanzi sword.
I know. Oh, and, I love the whole Hanzi, the Hattori Hanzi element. Mm-hmm. So.
And also when she was like, is it too late to say I'm sorry? She goes, no. And so it's like, aww. They're like,
were probably friends before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like Vivica Fox.
She was not friends with her at all. She hated her.
No, but they still had like, they were both like from one mother to another, sort of thing. But with like Daryl Hannah, did not like each other at all.
Oh, I know. They hated each other.
She squashes her foot with, she squashes her eyeball with her bare foot.
Now that's Kill Bill. Is that Kill Bill?
Yeah, it is. It is. But I just have to talk about that because I forgot to talk about that. Because that's another scene where you're like, you're like, I don't understand how you did that.
Like, the music. Now, mm-hmm. the outfit is the outfit that Bruce Lee wore in Game of Death. That's the mm-hmm. outfit that he borrowed.
And what it says on her shoes, mm-hmm. it says Die Bill or something.
Yeah, yeah. He had specialty shoes made that it might have been the imprint of the shoes. I can't even remember. But the outfit she's wearing is the Bruce Lee outfit from Game of mm-hmm. Death, which is very, very cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, keep going.
Like, the outfits in that, like, every single one of them is so good. And then at the end of the first scene, like, it opens up with a rough scene. You're like, oh, she's just killing her. You're like, mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. And then you figure out that she has a kid, and you're like, oh, no. You're like, and then also when she kills Vivica Fox and her daughter comes down and she goes, you're ever feeling that you want revenge, she's like I will be ready for you and I will like defeat you or something.
Another unfulfilled promise by Tarantino, because mm-hmm. he talked about making that movie.
People think it's gonna be with Maya Hawke and maybe Zendaya.
I don't think it's gonna be made. I don't think Uma Thurman will make it.
Hmm?
I don't think Uma Thurman will make it.
Why?
Because the controversy 2 years ago about the stunt scene that he forced her to do, and then she sued. And so, it's not like, I mean, they're fine with each other, but I do not think she will work with him again. Her daughter
worked with him.
Well, that's fine.
Pretty recently, so it's like, yeah. It's like, how? So,
that's right, she's in the background of Once Upon a Time, is that mm-hmm. right?
She was the one who ran away.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
Anything else on Kill Bill? I know we talked about Kill Bill 1 a lot already.
For a movie all about Bill, don't even see him.
I like that. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, because he's barely in Kill Bill 1.
Yeah. I think that's why it's much better than the first one, is because you're like, well, I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, I think so. I think he might be the weakest parts of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why Kill Bill 1 is superior. That's why I had it at number 4. Yeah. Just a fantastic mm-hmm. movie.
Okay, you're all right, number 2.
My number 2 is Reservoir Dogs.
Good.
Oh, my goodness. So, mm-hmm. I saw... Here's how I was introduced to Reservoir Dogs.
Okay.
I'm in Greenville, ECU. Mm-hmm. It's 92 or 93.
Okay.
And there is a Reservoir Dogs movie poster in Blockbuster. Pulp Fiction had not come out
wow,
yet.
Wow, a college student in the 90s figures out about Tarantino.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, that's when he came out. Like, Pulp Fiction had not come out yet.
Okay.
And so I'm beginning to explore, you know, art movies, things mm-hmm. beyond giant blockbusters. I'm discovering that, you know, Blockbuster's exploding. Mm-hmm. You can watch it, and you're realizing there are movies that are made that don't go to big theaters. Like, mm-hmm. honestly, I mean, it's not the Netflix days. And mm-hmm. so, when I saw the poster and it's them walking, I'm like, what the heck is Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah, like, what does that title even mean?
Yeah,
like,
I've heard theories. He's never explained, I think. Mm-hmm. But I rented it and I was like, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The opening scene in the restaurant. Oh, the Madonna scene. Oh, my goodness. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, but the opening scene in the restaurants, when they're going around, the way the camera moves,
mm-hmm.
they're not, Steve Buscemi's like, nah, I don't tip. You know, they go in that, and mm-hmm. then that whole thing's fantastic.
Also, that's
one of the best soundtracks ever.
Yeah.
Because it leaves that, mm-hmm. and then they're all walking together, introduction credits,
mm-hmm.
Little Green Bag, boom, boom, boom. It was just, soundtrack is phenomenal. And then all of a sudden, you go from that
mm-hmm.
to he's driving, and Tim Roth is in the back.
Yeah.
Now, the single best sequence in the movie
okay.
is Tim Roth talking to the guy in the diner,
mm-hmm.
and he gives him a scene.
Mm-hmm.
Then he practices the scene alone.
Mm-hmm.
Then he practices the scene in front of the guy, and that role was originally intended for Samuel Jackson,
yeah.
of course.
Yeah.
Then he's telling the scene,
mm-hmm.
Then he's in the scene. Phenomenal. Yeah. That's probably about 8-10 minutes. Yeah. That is phenomenal. But you love Mr. Pink. I mean, you have to love Steve Buscemi. He's the only professional. He's like, I'm a professional. Don't tell me your name. I'm not going to tell you mine.
And he gets away with it.
He like does. He... he gets shot. As soon as he walks out, you hear the you hear the shots when he runs out.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh.
Time to rewatch, I guess. But he gets shot and killed. Everybody dies. Yeah. But the beautiful interaction between Harvey Keitel and Tim Roth, when he's combing his hair, is so sweet. And then he has to tell him, I'm the rat. And you're like, he's like, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay. Like, he loves this guy. Oh, that relationship's so good. Michael Madsen, what the heck? Psycho. the ear scene, and he pours gasoline on the guy. I'm very thankful for the music to lighten that scene a little bit. What the heck?
Also, another
part that... You bark all day, little doggy, and you're going to bite. What did you say? Yeah.
Well, another part of that movie is, like, they're all, like, murderers, and they're all, like, mob people, and then they're like, oh, they tip. You're like, aw.
I know. Tipping is important. So, it's like a Hateful Eight. Because you have to look at Tim Roth, even though he's technically a good guy.
Yeah.
But you feel the betrayal to Harvey Keitel. It's really like, no, you're all bad people. Yeah. Like, Tim Roth, you're a bad person. Even though we know what you're trying to do, yeah, I'm afraid you're a bad person. What a phenomenal movie. Easily could be number one. All right, Emma. What is your number one Tarantino movie?
Death Proof.
I knew it was going to be. Now, you've seen this now, what, twice?
Yeah.
Excuse me, listeners. Sorry about
that. It is good every time I watch it. Like, I just love their relationship. Like,
it's an amazing movie.
And how, like, the second friend group barely know each other.
Yes.
But and they just leave Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
That's terrible. Like, they leave her to that Gunther dude. It's
terrible.
She's asleep, and they wake her up and leave her there. It's just terrible.
But, yeah, just, like, so much about it. I just love their relationship. I love, like, the little, like, camera flicks. I love just, like, the entire look of it. I love Kurt Russell in it.
I don't like Jungle Julia. I like everybody, but I don't like Jungle Julia.
I kind of like her.
Now.
I like her friend, whatever her name is.
So, keep going. Yeah. So,
well, I like Jungle Julia because, you know, it was a little mean of a thing for her to do where she was like, hey, like, any man can come up to you and do this. But then,
yes, what a terrible thing to do
but
to
then,
your friend.
But then she was, like, describing it to her and how she could get out of it.
Yes. that, you know, so Jungle Julia is played by Sidney Poitier's daughter. Sidney Poitier.
Not a Nepo baby.
It just because you're related. Sidney Poitier is one of the most phenomenal African-American actors of all time. Just absolutely.
Also, they're so mean to Rose McGowan. I'm like, no.
They are. And Arlene... is the one who receives the lap dance from Kurt Russell, which is very uncomfortable.
No, other way around.
But excuse me, yes. But an amazing song.
Yeah.
When that song comes on,
so good.
We listened to it the other day while we were cleaning dishes, and then now of course Rose McGowan is, you know, been bullied by Jungle Julia. Her death is awful. She's just. Just he's like, hey, which way are you going? She goes, to the right. He goes, oh, that's too bad. There's a 50-50 chance. And she's like, no, I won't tell anybody. It's like watching someone be tortured. She was being tortured. But yeah, just a... Quentin Tarantino's not annoying in this film. He's just a bartender.
He's a little creepy, but it's fine.
He's a little creepy. It was his bar, so I guess so. But
so he is playing himself.
Yeah, that's funny. But that's his jukebox.
He had down Mexico on jukebox.
I know, and so we love Rosario Dawson. I like her a lot in that movie.
I don't like her as a person.
No,
yes, like,
why not?
She's like said openly. She's like, I've committed like hate crimes against people.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, but then didn't Cardi B drug dudes and steal money from them? So you gotta figure out what you gotta go with that.
Depends if they were shitty dudes.
Huh?
Depends.
No, stop it. But this movie is famous in the Me Too movement for this reason. Rosario Dawson and
Rose
McGowan had that Rolling Stone cover. Have you ever seen it?
I don't think so.
And it is famous for...
You have to look up Rose McGowan.
Oh, my bad. For just areas where they felt like, I don't know if I was completely familiar with that. And, yeah, it played a lot to do with that movie. Now, there it is.
Yeah.
So, that was the Rolling Stone cover for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Rose McGowan's in both movies. She's the only one, she plays Cherry Darling, the stripper, in the mm-hmm. second one who loses her leg. But yeah, that has a lot, that has played itself out, like, I don't know how entirely comfortable it was mm-hmm. when I had that photo taken. Mm-hmm. But, I had to promote the movie. And by the way, this is Tarantino's only bomb. Absolutely mm-hmm. bombed.
Didn't Reservoir Dogs kind of bomb?
Reservoir Dogs was never released wide.
Oh, yeah.
So it won film mm-hmm. Cannes Film Festival, but it was never a wide release.
That was also the thing with Jennifer's Body. This is a whole other thing, but Jennifer's Body, it was like it came like directly after Transformers, so it was right. like Megan Fox is like this like
huge
like bombshell. It's so and so. Everyone was just like, oh, we're so excited to like see her like being more sexy on film, and then. And it was kind of like, it was advertised like that because the, director and writer of it, she was like, well, I know, like, what they want, and I know, like, and I know, so I'm gonna, like, cater towards it, and then when, like, while filming it, there's this one scene where, like, Amanda Seyfried and Megan Fox kiss, and they were both like, well, this is the only thing they're gonna use in the advertisements. But then, the reason why it bombed so bad was because the movie isn't sexualizing either of them. It's
okay.
It's like Jennifer. It's Megan Fox like reclaiming everything and just killing boys. And so when
it was a small budget movie, like it wasn't.
But it had like Megan Fox behind it. And so so when all of the like people, all the men critiquers watched it, they were like, oh, we don't get to see anything of her. And so they were like, oh, this movie sucks. It's like, no, it doesn't suck. Like, if you watch it, it's a good movie, but the only reason you don't like it is because Megan Fox isn't who she was in Transformers.
Right, right. Yeah, she was, yeah, she, unfortunately, career sort of fell prey to those first few movies. But, well, all right, my number one is, of course, Pulp Fiction. So let me just say a few things about it. By the time you see it, it may be so overhyped, but I saw it in the theater twice. And I've never been as blown away. And you got to remember, that may not even be possible anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it may not be possible to be that blown away at this point in time.
Because
mm-hmm. so many things have come after it, so many things have imitated it. But it was like, what did I just see? It's not told in sequential order.
Mm-hmm.
Huge actors. I mean, Samuel Jackson, John Travolta, Bruce Willis. John Travolta's career had tanked at that point in time. Complete resurrection. Like, his mm-hmm. next four or five movies blew up. One of the darkest scenes I've ever, at that point in time, I'd ever seen. You're going to be like, what's the big deal?
I think I know a part of it from
you
The Simpsons.
You probably do, but don't say anything. But, but at that point in time, it was like, what the heck? The one scene Tarantino didn't write was completely stunning. Like, what the heck did I just see? And you got to remember, there's not an internet age. At the point in time, it's 1994. Uma Thurman is amazing in that movie. It was a time of life where just something like that came along and transformed mm-hmm. cinema. There are 24 minimum Pulp Fiction imitation movies. Some of them okay, some of them awful,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of gritty characters, violence, drug use, let's put it on screen. You know, Tim Roth is in that movie. Just everybody's in that mm-hmm. movie, and they do just a phenomenal job. Tons of dialogue. When Tarantino shows up, it's not awful. It's not. Harvey Keitel is in that movie. Mm-hmm. Like I just said, there's several movies on here that could easily be number one.
I think good thing.
But the time of life for me, it's really hard for something to replace number one.
I think a good thing about Tarantino is that none of his movies are like you can say that. Like, no two movies are a repeat of another one.
They just have bare feet and trunk scenes.
Yep.
Yeah, you will get those two things, bare mm-hmm. feet and trunk scenes.
Like, even with, like, Stephen King, like, you can say, like, oh, this was, like, this was like either like a Shining kind of like same thing.
I think
as
it's
that.
Harder for Stephen King. I mean, when you write 60 novels, after a while, you know. But right.
Like with Kiss, like they've tried so many, like Rock and Roll Night, like
There's at least
like
10 plus songs that have the word night in it. Turn on the Night, Crazy Night, Thrills of the Night, Rock and
crazy,
Roll
Crazy
Night,
Crazy Night,
Tomorrow and Tonight. I mean, like it doesn't stop. But, like
that's a good thing about Tarantino is that like. None of his movies, I can be like, oh, this one is exactly like, or like a rip-off of this
Once Upon a Time is utterly unique compared to those other films. Yeah, so I agree with you. But Pulp Fiction was utterly unique in the landscape of movies and just blown away. So I think he won an Oscar for Best Screenplay for that one. I don't think he has a Best Director Oscar under his belt, if I'm not mistaken.
I feel like he won something for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
He did, but he won for screenplay, if I'm not mistaken. And then well-deserved, because what the heck, people just...
Yeah, he won screenplay for Django, screenplay for Pulp Fiction, Best Picture for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Well, these are all nominees now. He was nominated for Best Director for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Inglourious Basterds, and Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
So,
he's won what?
Two.
Two, and it was two best screenplays?
Yes.
People like his writing, but they will not. They will not give him Best Director, which is, I think, disappointing. I think they should at some point in time. So, all right, Emma. Wow, is this one of
this
the longest between our two shows? Here, we're over an hour. People are gonna have to hang in there for this, and a lot of people have not seen all these movies. But you know what? We make this podcast for ourselves. And we do. We have seen True Romance.
Yeah.
You've never seen Natural Born Killers. I don't know if I would ever watch that movie again.
I don't think I want to, so.
He did a lot of script doctoring, and I was in that nerd world where I went and looked at everything he ever touched for a little while there. I've seen his acting, which is bad. But any last thoughts on the Quentin Tarantino canon?
I'm good.
You're good. All right. Thank you. Next week, we'll get back to our normal format. We've got some things that we've watched together, some things we've watched separately. And guys, thanks for tuning in for this awesome mega episode. Talk to you later.